You are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Hi, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Dr. John Hayes. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's very special edition of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And tonight we're going to be talking about a subject which afflicts and disturbs many patients who have diabetes and, of course, peripheral neuropathy, and that is a condition known as autonomic neuropathy. But just a couple of reminders at the beginning of the show. Following the show, you'll be able to get the complete podcast and download in the iTunes podcast section. You can also go to beatingneuropathy.com, and all our radio shows are archived there for download. And there's also, of course, a link to our mobile app there as well. But without any further delay, let's move into a very important topic tonight and talk about this subject called autonomic neuropathy. You know, autonomic neuropathy is one of the most frequently requested topics that I get to speak about because it afflicts far more people than many people in the general population understand or realize. In fact, even in some of the studies that have been done on diabetics, one recent study actually showed that despite even controlling diabetes very well after diagnosis, the likelihood of developing cardiac or heart-related autonomic neuropathy is actually pretty significant. So it's a major public health problem, no question. Basically, the autonomic nervous system is the portion of the nervous system that functions on autopilot. You know, when I teach my doctors and my students, I actually, in the early phases, will tell them to think of the autonomic nervous system as the automatic nervous system. In other words, this particular portion of the nervous system is the part of the nervous system that controls things like sweating, heart rate, respiration, in other words, how fast we breathe, to a certain extent, how fast and how well food passes through our GI tract, and so on. And the reason I like to call it the automatic nervous system is that in the normal healthy situation, you don't even think about these things. You don't think about when to sweat. You don't think about when to raise your heart rate. And you never think about how fast your food is going to pass through your intestines because it all happens automatically. Well, unfortunately, when we suffer from autonomic neuropathy, what happens is the autonomic nerves, which are the nerves that control many of those areas or many of those body functions, becomes disturbed. Autonomic neuropathy per se is actually a group of symptoms and not a specific disease. Now, that quote comes directly from PubMed. For those of you who are new to the show, you know that one of the places that I recommend you get your information is from the National Library of Medicine in the United States. And you basically can go to PubMed.com, actually set up your own account if you'd like to do research. Otherwise, just keep in mind that what we try to do is to pull all our research articles directly from PubMed because they're indexed there and they are all widely read. In any event, what I'm looking at in front of me is a summary that you could look at as well. This is available online at PubMed. This particular one is recently updated, and I think it's a really good one. But anyhow, let's move on a little bit. Autonomic neuropathy basically involves damage to the nerves that carry information from the brain and spinal cord to the heart, bladder, intestines, sweat glands, pupils, and blood vessels. Again, that's direct from PubMed. And as I said earlier, this is the autonomic functioning portion of the nervous system. Well, where does this group of symptoms occur? Well, as we said at the top of the hour, it does, of course, occur in patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy. And the most common forms of neuropathy that it is associated with, number one on my list would have to be diabetes because, unfortunately, a significant number of patients who suffer from diabetes go on to develop autonomic neuropathy. But we also see it in patients that have had trauma, where there's scarring of tissue around nerves or a specific physical nerve damage. It can happen in any inflammatory type of neuropathy, such as can occur in Guillain-Barré syndrome or Lyme disease, HIV, AIDS. It can occur in association with MS, Parkinson's disease, and very commonly in patients that have spinal cord injuries. It also, of course, can happen in alcoholic neuropathy. So again, it's a very, very common condition. Unfortunately, it does afflict lots of people. Now, how does it present? Well, let's go through some of the more common presenting symptoms. And the reason I think that this particular section is very important is that very often I will have conversations with patients and they don't even realize that what probably is going on is autonomic neuropathy. And unfortunately, sometimes even their physicians are unaware that some of the patient's symptoms are, in fact, autonomic neuropathy. And the reason I mention that is it's very, very important to understand what is causing the patient's underlying dysfunction or symptoms rather than simply trying to treat it. For example, constipation and diarrhea are both signs of autonomic neuropathy. And sometimes in patients with neuropathy, I see the diagnosis missed. In other words, when the patient has peripheral neuropathy and they present with these symptoms, especially where they're longstanding, you've got to have a high index of suspicion, as we say in the clinic. In other words, we need to be very, very aware that what might be happening for this particular patient may, in fact, be autonomic neuropathy. And so the symptoms, again, would include very commonly things like constipation, diarrhea, you know, not short term, but things that tend to go on for a long time. Also, other disorders or symptoms that are associated with the GI tract. This would include digestive issues. In other words, food not going down like it should. You may have a feeling of being full, even if you've only eaten a couple of mouthfuls. There's also frequently problems with controlling bowel movements and incontinence. And that certainly can be not only problematic but embarrassing as well. Sometimes patients will have swelling of the abdomen, swallowing problems, and in severe cases, actually vomiting of undigested food. On the cardiac side, patients will develop things like changes in heart rate and rhythm. Very commonly, patients will develop what we call orthostatic hypotension, which basically means that when you stand, your blood pressure does not rise as is normally the case, and this indeed can be a sign of autonomic neuropathy that has affected the cardiovascular system. When we come back from the break, what I'm going to do is to give you a test that you can actually do at home that might help you screen for autonomic neuropathy. So once again, you are listening to Beating Neuropathy, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must act today. Don't forget, call right now 781-659-7989 while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. Welcome back to tonight's edition of Beating Neuropathy. Tonight, we're talking about a condition known as autonomic neuropathy, or neuropathy that afflicts what I like to call the automatic functioning of the nervous system. You know, before the break, I mentioned that there is a screening test that you can do that might help establish a diagnosis of autonomic neuropathy. Not that it's exclusive, because there are the conditions that can cause this test to be positive, but it's a very simple test that you can do at home, and it is something that you do not want to do unassisted in case you become dizzy. But what I recommend you do is to take a seated blood pressure measurement, and of course you can do this with any number of automated devices, or if you have a healthcare professional or somebody else who's competent taking blood pressures manually, Take your blood pressure while you relax in a seated position. Stand and immediately have your blood pressure taken again. Really what should rise is your blood pressure should, what should occur is your blood pressure should rise by 10 points on the top number, the systolic, and 10 on the diastolic. This is a normal response. In other words, what happens when we stand is usually our blood pressure will rise a little bit to make sure that circulation gets to the brain so we don't get dizzy. Well, what can happen in autonomic neuropathy and other disorders of the nervous system and cardiovascular system is the blood pressure will fail to rise. When this is accompanied by dizziness and perhaps even fainting, it is known as orthostatic hypotension, which basically means low blood pressure, which occurs upon arising. So again, simply doing the sit-standing blood pressure test at home is an indication, not a positive indication for sure, but it is an indication that you could have autonomic neuropathy. You should also know that under periods of extreme stress, that test can also be positive in normal, healthy people. So that is really something to keep in mind. Nonetheless, it's something you may want to repeat and certainly make sure that your own physicians know those numbers as well. Before the break, we also talked primarily about the symptoms of autonomic neuropathy that afflict the GI tract, but I want to talk about some of the other things that patients may experience with autonomic neuropathy. A very common one are changes in blood pressure, shortness of breath with activity and exercise, and also noticing abnormalities in your heart rate. In other words, you may notice some palpitations, in other words, feeling like your heart has skipped a beat. Sometimes patients will prescribe feeling sensations like they stand and they get these little creepy crawly sensations in their throat. I've heard patients describe in a number of different ways. Sometimes if you're lying down, arrhythmias or changes in heart rate can be quite pronounced and they can actually be, you know, quite frightening. So again, these are signs that something's not right and need to be attended to. One of the other things that we should mention is that just like autonomic neuropathy can affect the GI tract, it also affects the genitourinary tract, in other words, bladder and sexual function, so that leakage of urine or difficulty urinating, feeling like the bladder is not completely emptying are commonly reported. Some of the other things that can be afflicted or caused and affected by autonomic neuropathy, I should say, would be sweating. At the top of the hour, we described how autonomic neuropathy will damage the nerves that innervate the sweat glands. And because of this, sweating oftentimes can be impaired to the point that patients will have what's called hyperhidrosis or extreme sweating, or they may not sweat enough. And when you don't sweat enough, you can become heat intolerant, and you can become heat intolerant very, very quickly. Sexual dysfunction, including ED, et cetera, can occur. You can also notice some other things, such as weight loss, unexplained weight loss, and then, of course, if the autonomic neuropathy affects the nerves in the head, you may notice some changes in the size of your pupils. Again, all of these are signs that you could have autonomic neuropathy. Now, as we also said, that when you do have a neuropathy or a history of neuropathy or an inflammatory disorder of the nervous system, such as Lyme disease that has gone on to the secondary or tertiary stages or late stages, so to speak, or you have had Guillain-Barré syndrome or even a significant flu-like syndrome, you need to be aware that autonomic neuropathy could be a possibility. It is something that you do need to make yourself aware of, but most especially make sure that you share all of these symptoms with your healthcare providers as well. Now, unfortunately, because of the nerves that are affected, once autonomic neuropathy sets in, it is very, very difficult to treat. Now, we don't know really at this particular stage whether some of the long-term metabolic changes that we now use for peripheral neuropathy in the clinic will help those patients with autonomic neuropathy. I do believe that things like acetyl-L-carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid, when given over long enough periods of time, may be very helpful, but we just don't know for sure. So with that said, what I'd like to do is to talk about some of the things that you and I can do at home to help ourselves or loved ones that are afflicted with autonomic neuropathy and things that can make your life more pleasant. You know, one of the simple things that you do need to be aware of is that simply changing your electrolyte balance, in other words, making sure you have enough circulating fluid in your body, can make a big difference in how you feel. One of the common issues with just about everybody, and neuropathy is no exception, is that we oftentimes fail to consume adequate amounts of water. Well, making sure you're consuming enough water throughout the day and also adding a little bit of extra salt might help you to keep your blood fluid volume high. So this is something you want to keep aware of, and you also want to make sure that your doctors are aware of it. This is also why it's a really good idea to be monitoring your blood pressure on a regular basis. Not only can you check your blood pressure in a static position, in other words, while you're sitting, but you can also check your blood pressure by the sit-stand test that we spoke about earlier. Another thing that may help in patients that suffer from autonomic neuropathy is wearing elastic stockings. When we wear compression stockings, what happens is blood flow back to the heart is enhanced. In other words, when we stand, the blood won't have a tendency to pool as much, blood pressure won't drop as significantly, and some of the mild dizziness symptoms may actually get better simply from wearing elastic stockings. The other thing to keep in mind is that there are medications that sometimes can be used to help with heart arrhythmias. And once you are able to correct your heart arrhythmia, you may notice some lessening of your autonomic neuropathy symptoms. Again, these are all things you need to work very, very carefully, not only with your primary care physician with, but oftentimes a cardiologist, to make sure that the delicate fluid balances are maintained properly, that the electric function of the heart is as best as it can be, and so on. A couple other things that we should mention is that it really helps to make sure that you keep on a very, very good diet. Not only, of course, is a good diet going to be helpful with diabetes and the other conditions that may likely have caused your peripheral neuropathy, but keeping your bowel volume up there, in other words, making sure you're consuming enough water and enough fiber, may actually have the effect of keeping your stomach and your intestines working better. Also, habits such as drinking coffee first thing in the morning, basically anything that will help you empty your GI tract, is not a bad idea at all. It's also a very, very good idea to make sure that, just like in diabetic management and management of peripheral neuropathy and health in general, we recommend small, frequent meals as opposed to two or three larger meals per day. One of the best suggestions that you can ever receive is to understand that it is better to eat multiple small meals per day, and some of these, of course, could be simply large snacks. Keeping in mind two basic rules. Number one, carbohydrate control is usually around 15 grams per meal or snack, and this may be a lot more tight, more a little more difficult to do than you previously have been able to accomplish. There are a couple of references that you can use to get familiar with carbohydrate restriction. There's a great little book that was written by Dr. Barry Sears called A Week in the Zone. We do recommend that to all our patients who are interested in learning more about carbohydrate control and why it's so important. Plus, Weight Watchers and other organizations also put out little carb control handbooks that you can really shop with, and I'm sure there's mobile apps you can use on your phone that will do the same. The bottom line is you want to start to become very cognizant of your meals and the timing so that you are consuming meals about every 3 hours. And again, we're using the term meal loosely. It could simply be a large snack, interspersed with a couple of somewhat larger portion meals. But again, regardless, you want to make sure that you're not consuming more than 15 grams of carbohydrate at any particular point in time. Now, the exception, of course, would be if you are an insulin-dependent diabetic. Insulin-dependent diabetes is a whole different ball game, and you must work very closely with your nurses and your other healthcare providers to make sure that your blood sugar is managed properly. You also do need to be aware that in addition to drinking enough water and making sure that you are eating more frequently and eating foods that are relatively high in fiber, that you also pay careful attention to any medications that either could be causing neuropathy symptoms or perhaps some medications that might actually help gastric motility. For example, the suggestion to simply add a cup or two of coffee in the morning may have some benefit because it will help keep you regular and keep you well, you know, scheduled, if you will. I mean, timing really is everything. If you can get your body rhythms synchronized, it certainly makes your day more pleasant and certainly does help improve the quality of your life. When we come back from the next break, what we're going to do is to wrap up tonight's show and talk about some other things that I think you should know about autonomic neuropathy.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. You are listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio. Welcome back. We're about to wrap up tonight's show where we have been talking about autonomic neuropathy, or the type of neuropathy syndrome or symptoms that afflict patients who have peripheral neuropathy from a known or unknown cause. As we said at the top of the hour, autonomic neuropathy is the type of neuropathy that affects the automatic functionings of the body, things like heart rate, digestion, and so on. But before we leave tonight's show, I do want to caution everybody that if you are or have been experiencing symptoms of autonomic neuropathy, it is not something to be taken lightly at all. It is something that does require very, very careful medical evaluation and very, very close supervision, because there are risks, and some of the risks that you can imagine from what we've described already can occur with autonomic neuropathy would include things such as being injured from falling. In other words, if your blood pressure drops instead of rises, as is normally the case, you can faint. And if you faint unassisted, of course, you could strike your head or injure another body part in a fall. So that, of course, is a risk. You should also understand that if you have significant gastrointestinal issues, such as diarrhea or vomiting, it can cause changes in blood mineral levels like potassium, and this can create a whole host of other health problems that need to be addressed immediately. You can also develop kidney failure if your bladder doesn't empty fully or completely. Malnutrition, of course, is a significant issue. And then, of course, the obvious emotional and mental side effects of some of these things can be absolutely debilitating as well. So it's very, very important that you do work with your healthcare providers if you think you may have autonomic neuropathy. Now, generally, as I said earlier, we don't know if there is any significant or powerful long-term cure for autonomic neuropathy at this point. I will, however, tell you that I am very, very confident that we'll learn more about autonomic neuropathy as time goes by, and I also firmly believe that all the other things, mechanisms of treatment, and so on that we advocate for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy, including things such as low-level light therapy, LED, some of the nutrients and some of the manual therapies and so on that affect neuropathy in a positive way, are likely to affect patients that are treated over long enough periods of time with autonomic neuropathy. But the bottom line is right now we just don't know for sure. So it is a work in progress, and it is something that you do need to work very, very carefully on your healthcare provider or with your healthcare providers on. Now, one thing I do want to say, and I want to make sure I emphasize this, when we take a look at the literature, and again, there's a lot of literature available on this and virtually any health topic you can imagine at PubMed. And it is technical and it is written for healthcare providers and scientists and researchers. But the bottom line is when we take a look at some of the studies on diabetes, we know that a significant amount of people who are diagnosed with diabetes ultimately go on to develop autonomic neuropathy, and that even when they go on to improve their diet, get their blood sugar under control, that they can still go on and develop autonomic neuropathy. It seems to be because diabetes is oftentimes very insidious. In other words, it's something that creeps up very, very slowly over a long period of time. So the bottom line is that the earlier you can attack diabetes, the better your ultimate health outcome is going to be. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank everybody for being with us again. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you invite me into your home or your cell phone, your iPod, wherever you're listening to us. And we welcome your questions throughout the week about this or any other topic. And the best place to ask us those questions is at facebook.com/beatingneuropathy. So once again, have a great rest of your evening, and we will see you next week. Good night now.